This is Jay Sekulow, the former number two at the FBI, Andrew McCabe, now under investigation by a grand jury.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
Federal prosecutors have impaneled a grand jury to investigate former FBI Deputy Director Andrew McCabe. It follows that bombshell report from the Justice Department's Inspector General, which alleges McCabe approved a media disclosure to advance his personal interests.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
In a statement to Fox News, the lawyer for Andrew McCabe called the grand jury a procedural step and then laid blame with the administration for leaks about the secret proceeding. Quote, today's leak about a procedural step taken more than a month ago, occurring in the midst of a disastrous week for the president, is a sad and poorly veiled attempt to try to distract the American public. We remain confident that a thorough review of the facts and circumstances related to this matter will demonstrate that there is no basis on which criminal charges should be brought.
And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the broadcast. So here's what we have. U.S. attorneys have for several months apparently been using a grand jury to investigate former FBI Deputy Director Andrew McCabe. Now, as you'll recall, back in April of this year, the Department of Justice Office of Inspector General released a report detailing its investigation of the former FBI Deputy Director, the number two at the Justice Department, Andrew McCabe. The Office of Inspector General report concluded that McCabe lacked candor, including under oath on multiple occasions, violated FBI offense codes regarding candor, and disclosed the existence of an ongoing investigation that violated FBI and DOJ policy, constituting misconduct. In light of these findings, the Inspector General, Michael Horowitz, who was appointed, by the way, by President Obama, issued a criminal referral to the U.S. Attorney's Office in Washington, D.C. Now, let's stop right there and find out what that exactly means. So, Andy, let's explain to everybody what a criminal referral is and means. And I'll put in this context. When you were in the U.S. Attorney's Office and I was with Treasury, my office would draft oftentimes what was called a CRL, a criminal reference letter on a tax case. Our agency of the government would then send it over to the U.S. attorneys for a recommendation. So what do we have here when the Office of Inspector General sends it over with a criminal referral?
It's the same principle. And the Inspector General's report, Mr. Horowitz's report of what his findings were based on his investigation, is packaged up and sent to the United States Attorney for the District of Columbia with a attachment that simply says, these are our findings. Do with them what you please. There may be criminal violations here. There may not be. You make the decision. And the U.S. Attorney, apparently for the District of Columbia, has made the decision to impanel a grand jury and to look into the allegations and the findings, I should say, of Mr. Horowitz to determine if McCabe violated federal law.
So apparently the grand jury summoned multiple witnesses. The lack of candor, Harry, allegation in this, I think it's important to point out, lack of candor is basically the FBI's own term for lying under oath.
Absolutely. So in this particular case, Andrew McCabe lied three times, that's the allegation, under oath, and he lied on another occasion while not under oath. And the penalty for lying to a federal investigator is a five-year prison term. So what we are looking at possibly is a felony conviction, assuming we can meet first the probable cause standard and prove beyond a reasonable doubt that he engaged in the alleged misconduct.
Has there been a finding of probable cause yet, Andy?
No. No.
Right, so there's not been. That's important to point out.
Right.
So everyone's presumed innocent until proven guilty.
Well, until a grand jury makes a determination of whether there is sufficient evidence to believe that it's likely a crime has been committed, that's what probable cause means.
When we come back from the break, we're taking your calls on this. First of all, your reaction to all this, 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. Let me tell you something else we're going to do. We're going to kind of give you an in-grand jury experience, what it's like inside a grand jury room, because Andy Accountable, former U.S. attorney for Georgia, understands that very well. He did a lot of cases in front of grand jury. So we'll talk about that. We're going to take your calls about this. We'll do some follow-up on the Kavanaugh proceedings. But we'll take your calls, your reaction to the grand jury being impaneled on the number two in the FBI, Andrew McCabe, 1-800-684-3110. Back with more in just a moment.
This is a critical time for the Supreme Court and our nation. President Trump has nominated a brilliant jurist to fill the seat created by the retirement of Justice Kennedy. Judge Brett Kavanaugh is eminently qualified. He has extensive experience and a commitment to adhere to the rule of law and uphold the Constitution. Yet the radical left is pulling out all the stops to derail this nomination. That's why it's so critical to support this nominee. The American Center for Law and Justice is mobilizing on Capitol Hill, demanding Judge Kavanaugh's immediate confirmation. Stand with us on this critical fight. Sign on to our petition, calling on the U.S. Senate to confirm Judge Kavanaugh without delay. Add your name to our petition right now online, ACLJ.org. It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Israel is facing unprecedented challenges. Enemies abound. ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran all pledge to wipe Israel from the face of the earth. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital, presents clear, irrefutable evidence to remove any doubt about Israel's right to exist. And the book dispels legal myths purported by Israel's enemies. Get your copy today, Jerusalem, a Biblical and Historical Case for the Jewish Capital. Available now at Amazon or Barnes & Noble.
So the number two at the United States Department of Justice, Andrew McCabe, has now have a grand jury impaneled investigating his, quote, lack of candor, including on multiple occasions, according to the Inspector General, violating, making false statements, which is the lack of candor. Under oath on multiple occasions, violated the FBI's official offense codes regarding candor and disclosed the existence of an ongoing investigation that violated FBI and DOJ policy constituting misconduct. Wes, you were saying before we went on the air that his liaison with the Wall Street Journal on that was Lisa Page.
Yeah, you really can't make this stuff up.
Boy.
He did what James Comey did. James Comey didn't want to go directly to the media to release that information to get a special counsel appointed, so he had a friend do it. In the case of Andrew McCabe, his intermediary, his go-between to the Wall Street Journal, and that reporter now works for the Washington Post, was none other than Lisa Page.
Yeah.
And all of these people, it's been proven, that circle of FBI leadership, they had one thing in common. They hated Donald Trump.
Yeah, and they loved going to make, and they loved leaks. So just listen to James Comey. Remember this one?
So I asked a friend of mine to share the content of the memo with a reporter. Didn't do it myself for a variety of reasons, but I asked him to because I thought that might prompt the appointment of a special counsel.
I mean, think about what James Comey said then. I asked a friend of mine to share the contents of a memo. By the way, what was that memo? Oh, it was a memo of a conversation he had with the President of the United States with a reporter. I didn't do that myself for a variety of reasons, but I asked a friend of mine because I thought it might be prompt the appointment of a special counsel. By the way, the Office of Inspector General, Harry, is doing an investigation also regarding James Comey's conduct.
And that
and
is,
again, this is an Obama appointee.
And that is like absolutely always necessary. Both the FBI and the DOJ have been afflicted by a crippling disease, a disease that threatens the credibility of the FBI. The disease is nothing less than the hot pursuit of self-interest. And so you have evidence in this particular case, in McCabe's case, that he was advancing his own self-interest. His wife received hundreds of thousands of dollars from a Clinton crony for campaign contributions. At the same time, McCabe was involved in allegedly investigating Hillary Clinton's email violations. So it's a clear conflict of interest. McCabe engaged in questionable behavior. The IG's report led to his dismissal by Jeff Sessions, and now the grand jury is investigating to find out whether or not sufficient evidence can be adduced to show probable cause. This is highly necessary, but this is only the first step. We need similar investigations with respect to other FBI and DOJ officials as well.
I think this is the first step. I think it's an important step. And Andrew McCabe, who was touted as this guy that was just not only doing his job, but had the interests of the country first, it looks like he may have had the interests of himself first. Now, having said that, let's go into, we know there's a grand jury impaneled. What exactly does that mean in Washington, D.C.? What does that mean with the nature and scope of this investigation? So let's go to our former U.S. attorney, who also is a senior counsel for the ACLJ, Andy Economo, and find that out. So, Andy, let's talk about the impaneling of a grand jury.
All right. A grand jury, first of all, consists of between 16 and 23 citizens from a judicial district in the United States. This is in the federal system, who are impaneled. That is, they're brought together. A judge gives them an oath and says, under the direction of the United States attorney, go forth and make a determination as to whether the facts of cases that are presented to you by the U.S. attorney through witnesses merit the finding of probable cause to believe that crimes have been committed. First of all, you got to realize the defense attorney is not in the grand jury room. The defense attorney doesn't get to call witnesses. The defendant doesn't get to go in there. It's just the U.S. attorney, the court reporter, and the grand jurors who elect a four-person to preside over the proceedings. But it's under the direction of the U.S. attorney. It's what we call an accusatory or investigatory body. It's not a trial. And all they got to prove is, in order to return an indictment, that there is probable cause to believe, that is, reasonable likelihood to believe that a crime has been committed. You then return an indictment.
So what do you present witnesses?
Yes.
Now, those witnesses are not entitled to have a lawyer present, correct?
No lawyers.
So where do the lawyers sit?
The lawyers can go outside, and the witness, if they want to consult, can go outside the grand jury room and consult with a lawyer and come back in and answer or not answer the question and invoke a privilege.
Yeah. If they invoke a privilege, which in Andrew McCabe's, he probably will they call him? Sometimes you don't call the target, right?
No, you don't. Usually if someone says I'm a target, or they identify somebody as a target and he says I'll take the Fifth Amendment, then supposed to call him into the grand jury to assert a constitutional privilege. No, you're not supposed to do that.
So, Wes, what's your read of the situation so far?
I think it's really serious. This, again, and this has happened so often, it seems like, in the last couple of years, by senior leadership at the Department of Justice and the FBI, and that is the trust of the American people is yet once again betrayed, it would seem. And the American people, they of all the institutions they need to be able to have confidence in, it's the FBI and the Department of Justice. And this is the same group of people that charged General Michael Flynn and ruined his reputation for lying. He pled out to lying to the FBI. But lying by the FBI is just as serious as lying to the FBI by civilians. And it appears, we don't have a true bill from the grand jury, but it appears this is what has happened.
Well, I know James Jordan went on television today. Let's see if we can find the sound. I want to get it. I was talking about these documents that they requested the president to declassify, which apparently involves some of the FISA applications and FISA warrants. He was on earlier today, and we'll get that. I want to talk about that and get people's reaction to that, because this is where you have multiple issues going on right now, and it's multiple inquiries going on right now. You have congressional oversight on irregularities within the FBI and Department of Justice. You've got a grand jury now impaneled in Washington, D.C., looking at the Andrew McCabe lack of candor. We have an Office of Inspector General that's doing a report on James Comey. That's our understanding of it. All that's in process right now. To me, Harry, that tells me that it's taking time, but this is getting attention that it deserves. And you have the U.S. attorney out in Utah that's doing this overall investigation about irregularities.
Absolutely. So the FBI has consistently and unmistakably engaged in misleading behavior.
Especially at the top. I mean, it's really
particularly at the top. And so this misbehavior implicates James Comey, Andrew McCabe, Peter Strzok, Lisa Page, you name it. Holding people accountable is simply the first step in restoring the FBI's reputation. The FBI used to be the premier investigatory agency in the government. It used to have a worldwide reputation for honesty, and that reputation has collapsed under the weight of the misleading behavior of the FBI over the last several years.
And this is not to attack individual FBI agents who do a great job every single day. This isn't just deep state, as it's called. This is right at the top.
Absolutely.
I mean, that's really where this is. I mean, it's a problem at the top. All right, we're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110, 1-800-684-3110. Let's go to Julie calling from Santa Monica, California, on line one. Hi, Julie.
Hi, Jay.
Hey.
This is a wonderful cathartic moment. We have been waiting so long for someone to be held accountable.
Yeah.
My question is, do you think when the grand jury testimony will necessarily entail email records or conversations or any records with other members of the FBI and DOJ, like Jim Comey or Lisa Page or Bruce Orr or Rod Rosenstein?
Do you remember that James Comey came out and challenged, he said, I have a lot of affection for Andrew McCabe, but I think he was wrong on some of the things he said. But Andy, what about what will the investigation look like with regard to evidence gathering?
It's up to the U.S. attorney. U.S. attorney is not limited to what the inspector general finds in his investigation. Remember, the investigation conducted by the inspector general of the Department of Justice, Horowitz, made certain factual findings. But when you get into a grand jury, the one who runs that is the U.S. attorney, not the IG. And therefore, yes, as the caller said, we can talk about emails, conversations, correspondence. We can talk about a whole variety of things that are not limited to the findings of the inspector general. And that means it's broad and wide ranging.
You said, Wes, that you thought this was serious repercussions. I think this is just the first movement. And I think it's important. Again, you're presumed innocent. So we're not going to make presumptions of guilt here, but the inquiry was necessary. And that, I think, is I think the American people are looking for a determination as to what has been going on here. Now, if these documents, and we'll talk about that in the next segment of the broadcast, if these documents are declassified, and that's completely up to the president here, regarding FISA and FBI abuse on that, I mean, that could start a whole, I don't know what's in them, obviously, I haven't seen them, they're classified. But it would be, probably, my considered judgment is, that if that happens, that could be breathtaking in scope and what that unveils.
Yeah, what we don't know is how deep and pervasive the corruption and the bias at the FBI was. And, you know, this is not done through a spirit of vindictiveness. This is the American people simply wanting their agencies held accountable. It's justice.
All right, we're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. Then I've got a question for you I want to ask. Do you think the president should declassify these documents regarding FISA and some of the other issues that you've been hearing people talk about? Do you think it's time to declassify? We'll take your calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. We'll be back with more in just a moment.
It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Israel is facing unprecedented challenges. Enemies abound. ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran all pledge to wipe Israel from the face of the earth. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital, presents clear, irrefutable evidence to remove any doubt about Israel's right to exist. And the book dispels legal myths purported by Israel's enemies. Get your copy today, Jerusalem, a Biblical and Historical Case for the Jewish Capital. Available now at Amazon or Barnes & Noble. This is a critical time for the Supreme Court and our nation. President Trump has nominated a brilliant jurist to fill the seat created by the retirement of Justice Kennedy. Judge Brett Kavanaugh is eminently qualified. He has extensive experience and a commitment to adhere to the rule of law and uphold the Constitution. Yet the radical left is pulling out all the stops to derail this nomination. That's why it's so critical to support this nominee. The American Center for Law and Justice is mobilizing on Capitol Hill, demanding Judge Kavanaugh's immediate confirmation. stand with us on this critical fight. Sign on to our petition calling on the U.S. Senate to confirm Judge Kavanaugh without delay. Add your name to our petition right now online, aclj.org.
So a group of House Republicans have been urging President Trump to declassify documents related to the beginning of the Justice Department's Russia investigation. The president has indicated that he may do it. It's not a straightforward sign a document and release it. There's a process that goes on internally, and that process is ongoing right now. But there's been a call to do this, to see this declassification so that the American people can see exactly what took place on the FISA warrants, especially as it related to this Carter Page, who was a campaign aide is what he's being called in the media. I don't think he had a formal position with the campaign. The FBI was investigating, you remember, Carter Page's alleged ties to Russia, but they may have wiretapped or tapped into conversations that Page had, including conversations with campaign officials. So the lawmakers, so the members of Congress, Jim Jordan, and I know Mark Meadows and others, want to declassify these documents related to the Justice Department official Bruce Orr, who they said had inappropriate contacts with the British spy Christopher Steele, who created the entire dossier. So there is a lot to unpack there. We're going to do that. Let's go ahead and take some calls at 1-800-684-3110. We also are talking about the fact that the grand jury's been investigating Andrew McCabe, former number two of the Justice FBI. Let's go to Jesse in California. Hi, Jesse. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Hi. I just have a question. I wonder who's the guy that's prosecuting this, that's looking into all this grand jury stuff and all that? And I just want to know, should we have confidence that he's going to go aggressively, like to the full extent on it?
Yeah, I mean, it's a good question. It's the U.S. Attorney's Office. So it's the U.S. under the auspices of the U.S. Attorney.
For the District of Columbia, yep, is the prosecutor in the case. And he is a Republican appointee. He's a Trump appointee. Typically, U.S. attorneys are non-political. They don't say what party they're from, although they may be appointed by Republicans or Democrats.
It's usually assistants that are doing the investigation.
And as the U.S. attorney seldom himself goes in, it's an assistant who is sometimes a career prosecutor who's not committed to one side or the other. I was an assistant U.S. attorney for 5 years. I never once had any pressure put upon me by the U.S. attorney, who was a Democrat, to prosecute or not prosecute anybody. He just said, follow the evidence where it went and do what you have to do in the grand jury.
So, again, it's an ongoing process here. Now, we're talking about that issue. We're talking about this declassification issue. Let me ask you this, Harry. I'm going to get some calls in a few moments here as well at 800-684-3110 on the declassification issue. I keep telling people that they say, why don't the president just do it? There is a process you have to go through here to make sure you're not disclosing sources and methods.
Absolutely. So I think the core of the story is this very present possibility. No one at the FBI believed that the Steele dossier contained verifiable information. Mm. Nonetheless, it seems clear that the FBI leaked this unverifiable information to the media, and then used the leaked information to corroborate the allegations in order to obtain a FISA warrant, which in my view, is in violation of the Fourth Amendment of the Constitution.
Yeah. I mean, when you think about that for a moment, I mean, just on that point, the idea that they would take an unverified dossier, leak it to the press so they created news about it, use the news that was created about it and the dossier, then go in and get a FISA warrant. They have created their own story.
Absolutely. They've created their own corroboration. And if the evidence can be adduced in support of that, that would then show two things.
Oh, the whole
investigation. Political bias, which would and should cause the entire Russia investigation to implode. That's number one.
Fruit of the poisonous tree.
Absolutely. And number two, that would also be evidence, it strikes me, as part of Peter Strzok's insurance policy against President Trump.
What do you think, Wes?
Yeah, I mean, this is so serious. The idea of misleading a FISA court judge in order, Jay, to spy on an American system. Because there are really, really protections. You cannot spy on an American citizen without a FISA warrant. they misled, it appears, a FISA court judge in order to get that warrant. And the interesting thing is you have the same actors in all of these different scenarios and possible scandals. Andy McCabe, Lisa Page, Peter Strzok, James Comey, Bruce Orr. The cast of characters does not change.
No, it's the same group. So, Andy, when we talk about this as a serious factor, and that declassification could come, you know, in the next, it may not come at all, but it could come today. It could come Monday. It could, you know, I think it's going to be sooner rather than later if it happens. But that could be, if in fact this proves to be correct, that the whole basis, what Harry said, laying it out, that the FISA warrant was based, which started the whole thing, the whole dossier, and that the dossier was unverified, and that it was leaked, and that it was, you know, uncorroborated, and then it was became part of the basis of a FISA warrant. How would you like to be that FISA court judge?
I would not be a happy FISA court judge. Right. I would tell you this. I would want to know who lied to me and gave me information that was concocted and false and caused me to issue a warrant to spy on an American citizen. And if I was a FISA judge, I would be very, very angry. Look, you can infect the political system all you want, in my view, because that's going to turn out in an election to straighten itself out, Jay.
Yep.
But don't ever infect the federal judiciary.
All right, Michael's calling from Cleveland, Ohio, on line two. Michael.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Great.
I just wanted to share 2 points. Number one, yes, Trump should declassify the FISA docs. You know, it's been seen many times that the redactions, an overwhelming majority of them, are innocuous anyway. And I think the American public deserves to see the you know, the evidence of this corruption at the upper levels. And with respect to that, I think it's important that in order for the DOJ to regain any of its you know, its stature, it needs to go after McCabe with a sledgehammer and make an example out of him. I think it's got two benefits. Number one, it'll satisfy the public, and number two, it'll make the rest of the co-conspirators start to fall like dominoes.
Well, we're not, you know, we don't look for vengeance here. We look for justice. So the way it goes is the U.S. Attorney's Office now has the case. So they do the investigation with the FBI.
That's what they're supposed to do. The idea is that they pursue justice for the homeland. That's the saying and the motto of the Justice Department. Qui pro domina justitia sequitur. In other words, who for the homeland pursue justice. So we're not here to be vindictive. But I'll tell you this. If someone lied to the FBI, if someone lied to the grand jury, I'd want to be vindictive sometimes. I mean, it's hard not to feel that way.
Because, good Latin, by the way.
Yes, that is. Well, that's 8 years of Latin and an equal amount of Greek, so it shows every once in a while.
What other broadcasts do you get the Justice Department's motto in Latin and translated simultaneously?
That's right. That's pretty
only
good.
Only here. All right, so we're here for another 30 minutes. Excuse me. And we're going to take some more calls when we come back from the break at 1-800-684-3110. Let me also say this. The Kavanaugh hearings yesterday, I think Cory Booker embarrassed himself, because now we find out from Bill Burke, who is the attorney for the Bush Library, that in fact they had already authorized the documents to be released, that he was staking his reputation and willing to suffer expulsion. They already told him the night before we're willing to release those documents. So there you have that. So meanwhile, I think Brett Kavanaugh sails through. Not I think he is going to be the Associate Justice of the Supreme Court of the United States. And we come back from the break. We're going to take your calls at 1-800-684-3110. We're talking about now the declassification of these documents and what that means, what that entails. We'll talk more about that. We'll take your calls as well. Again, at 800-684-3110. Also, don't forget, support the work of the ACLJ. You can do that at aclj.org. That's aclj.org. And we appreciate your support there. Also, stay engaged with us on a whole host of issues. If you don't get the full hour of the broadcast, just hop on over to Facebook or Periscope, because we're broadcasting there live on both on audio and video. You can do that or aclj.org. So stay with us for this next half hour.
This is a critical time for the Supreme Court and our nation. President Trump has nominated a brilliant jurist. Judge Brett Kavanaugh is eminently qualified. The American Center for Law and Justice is mobilizing on Capitol Hill, demanding Judge Kavanaugh's immediate confirmation. Sign on to our petition, calling on the U.S. Senate to confirm Judge Kavanaugh without delay. Add your name to our petition right now online, aclj.org.
I'm talking about freedom. Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
Federal prosecutors have impaneled a grand jury to investigate former FBI Deputy Director Andrew McCabe. It follows that bombshell report from the Justice Department's Inspector General, which alleges McCabe approved a media disclosure to advance his personal interests.
And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
So, two big issues that we're dealing with right now. Andrew McCabe now in front of a grand jury. When I say in front of a grand jury, his case has been referred to the U.S. Attorney's Office, and they opened up a grand jury investigation on that. Lack of candor is one of the charges, multiple times, actually, lack of candor. According to the Inspector General, concluded that McCabe lacked candor, including under oath on multiple occasions, violated FBI offense codes regarding candor, and that means it wasn't under oath, but it was still a violation of the code of the FBI, and disclosed the existence of an ongoing investigation that violated FBI and DOJ policy, constituting misconduct. So that is what's going on with Andrew McCabe. At the same time, there is a call now, a pretty loud call from Republicans asking the president to declassify documents related to the Russia probe. Let me play for you what Mark Meadows has just said.
Listen, the American people need to judge for themselves. And we believe that it is time, not a month from now, not 2 months from now, but days from now, to declassify this information, show it. And you know what we believe we're going to see based on non-classified documents is that information was collected in an abnormal way. It was verified in an abnormal way, and it was prosecuted in an abnormal way. And all because there was a bias towards this president.
Yeah. And that information was never presented to the court.
So let's break that down a little bit. So what Congressman Meadows is saying is that he believes that the documents, once they are declassified, will show that it was collected in an abnormal way. What does that say to you, Andy?
It tells me that it was collected in an illegal way, one that was not within the channels. In other words, through leaks, through misinformation, and through the spying techniques that were not proper. That's what that means, abnormal.
Yeah, what do you think, Wes?
Yeah, and there's potential conspiracy involved because you have Bruce Ohr and his wife, Nellie, works for the agency that's producing this suspect document.
Yeah.
I mean, this circle of bias and misconduct is pretty astounding.
So we said collected in an abnormal way. The next thing that Mark Meadows said is that it was verified in an abnormal way. What does that tell you, Harry?
Well, essentially, the FBI presented information to the FISA court that was incomplete. It failed to identify the source of the information. The source of the information, actually, was the Democratic National Committee. The evidence was largely manufactured by Christopher Steele, who was a paid operative with Fusion GPS. And the FBI failed to present evidence which would have been in the favor, if you will, of Carter Page, and that would have led, arguably, to the court disallowing the application to go forward. In other words, they didn't present the entire evidence that was available to the FBI. That's number one. And number two, they failed to inform the court that they didn't believe the evidence that they had in their hands.
All right, let's go to Larry, who's calling from Emmonsville, Indiana. Larry, go ahead. You're on the air.
Thanks for taking the call.
Sure.
Couple statements. Two very interesting questions. One is, I believe that the timely release would be a prime consideration. And I think that's when the grand jury returns, if it returns a decision to carry it on to trial.
Carry what on to trial? We're talking about
for McCabe.
Yeah, well, see, these are two unrelated items. So the grand jury investigation on McCabe is a fact-gathering matter that's taking place right now. The declassification of documents is a different scenario involving a different set of facts. Now, there may be some intersection of the two, but they're not dependent, Andy, really quickly, they're not dependent on each other.
No, they're not. They're separate. In other words, what McCabe did, and if he lied, that's one matter, different from disclosing documents and declassifying them that might lead to a determination of what was presented to a judge.
All right, we're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. We got some special video coming up during the break here. But again, on Facebook and Periscope, we encourage you to share it with your friends. And if you want to get involved in the conversation, we'd be glad to have you. You can call us at 1-800-684-3110. Back with more in just a moment.
This is a critical time for the Supreme Court and our nation. President Trump has nominated a brilliant jurist to fill the seat created by the retirement of Justice Kennedy. Judge Brett Kavanaugh is eminently qualified. He has extensive experience and a commitment to adhere to the rule of law and uphold the Constitution. Yet the radical left is pulling out all the stops to derail this nomination. That's why it's so critical to support this nominee. The American Center for Law and Justice is mobilizing on Capitol Hill, demanding Judge Kavanaugh's immediate confirmation. Stand with us on this critical fight. Sign on to our petition, calling on the U.S. Senate to confirm Judge Kavanaugh without delay. Add your name to our petition right now online, ACLJ.org. It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Israel is facing unprecedented challenges. Enemies abound. ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran all pledge to wipe Israel from the face of the earth. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital, presents clear, irrefutable evidence to remove any doubt about Israel's right to exist. And the book dispels legal myths purported by Israel's enemies. Get your copy today, Jerusalem, a Biblical and Historical Case for the Jewish Capital. Available now at Amazon or Barnes & Noble.
So there's a lot of discussion about the declassification of documents relating to the Russia probe, and the Republicans are asking for it aggressively. Jim Jordan just said this.
We know the FBI and the DOJ aren't going to do it, so we're asking the President of the United States to make this information available to the American people so we can once and for all figure out exactly the wrongdoing that took place.
And this is the outset, the foundation of the investigation. So the inquiry that's led to a special counsel involves this whole Russia allegation and the Russia probe. And there is serious concern that both the beginning of the investigation, the determination of FISA warrants, which led to the collection of information and data, were all based on inappropriate documents, including the unverified dossier, which was then, Wes, again, I think it's important for people to understand that. It was a dossier that was leaked to the press, articles were created, and then it was taken to the FISA court.
Yeah.
The FISA court, Judge. You are not too happy about this.
Yeah, the FBI produces a suspect article from an unreliable source, a guy who's been fired by the FBI.
For leaking.
Plus, Bruce Orr, meanwhile, is still continuing to talk with this guy who's been fired. And then they produce this article and then take the article to the court to prove that there might be something going on here. And the other thing about spying on American citizens, I was looking at some of my notes from law school, and that is most of the time whenever a FISA warrant is granted to spy on an American, it has to do with national security.
Yes.
And I just don't see Carter Page as a threat to national security.
Well, this is what they're asking. There's 20 pages that are being asked for, roughly, of the FBI's applicant. For the FBI's application to conduct the surveillance against Carter Page, and they want footnotes, and the Republicans understand that you have to omit sources and methods, so that's part of this as well. So all of this is going on simultaneously. There's a lot at play here simultaneously. So let's go ahead and take a call. We've got Tom calling from Cedar Rapids, Iowa. Hi, you're on the air.
How are you, sir?
All right, good. Go ahead.
Hey, us in the heartland are sitting here screaming and hollering and don't understand why, with the Justice Department redacting all these documents, and you can't understand half of what it's trying to say, why doesn't the president declassify this stuff? And it would probably reveal all these actors
There has to be a organized process in the declassification, because what you cannot do is expose, and I want Andy to elaborate on this, it's very important to understand this, sources and methods that would include individuals. We don't want to put people in harm's way in this, so it has to be done in a very careful and specific method.
That's right. To the caller's point, you've got to realize that these have been classified for a reason.
And it's usually national security.
Almost always national security. And therefore, to declassify them, that is to say to make them open and aware to the public, means that you got to be very careful that what is contained in there doesn't disclose a confidential source that could result potentially in the death of that confidential source. They could be killed because they found out who they were, or the means and methods and the ways that we find out information. Subject to that and the redaction of that information, it may be the president's decision to let the rest of the stuff come out. I personally would like to see it come out.
Well, so would I, but I think, again, going through the process, Harry, what do you think this will end up telling us?
Well, I think it will end up telling us a lot, because actually the House Republicans have a three-part request. The first part is focused on the FISA warrant application itself, and we've already discussed that. Secondly, lawmakers have demanded the release of 12 FBI reports on interviews. What are we talking about there? We're talking about the so-called 302s. Third,
those are the notes that the FBI agents take on interviews they've done on witnesses. It's called a Form 302.
Precisely. And third, House Republicans seek to declassify documents given to the so-called Gang of Eight. These are bipartisan leaders. And those documents contained, as I understand it, exculpatory evidence with respect to Carter Page. So it's important to note that this is a comprehensive request by House Republicans, and it would help expose, let's put it this way, DOJ and FBI misconduct.
So when it says exculpatory evidence as to Carter Page, in other words, evidence that shows that Carter Page was not a national security threat, and yet knowing all that, they still go and seek a FISA warrant. If that is in fact what's in these documents, it would be earth-shattering. What do you think the consequences of that would be, Andy?
Oh, my God. If I were a district judge, I'd want him to be held in contempt and prosecuted, at least, for lying to a federal court.
And what do you think it means for the overall Russia investigation?
Well, I think that investigation is infected and corrupted anyway, so I don't know that it really can be infected and corrupted any more than it is, but I think it terminates it. It ought to, in my opinion.
All right, we're taking your calls, 1-800-684-3110. Wendy from California on line 4. Hi, Wendy.
I had a question, and throughout listening to, you know, since the beginning of the FBI kind of being exposed for their corruption, I haven't heard any lower echelon FBI employees come out as whistleblowers to somebody. I mean, it can't have not been known by some of the lower echelon FBI people. And why hasn't anybody spoken up?
Well, and you don't know how. I mean, maybe it wasn't being handled by lower echelon FBI people, and that could be the situation here, that this was deemed that sensitive. This was called Operation Crossfire Hurricane was the name of this. And, you don't know in these kind of situations, Wes, how where it was ranked within DOJ.
No. And the approval process, for example, for FISA warrants, it's done at the very, very top,
yes,
upper echelons. The average rank-and-file agent would have no knowledge of what's in that FISA warrant application.
No, but if you're the FISA court judge, I've said this before, I'm going to say it again, and they pulled this shenanigan on you, you'd bring them all in.
I would say to the U.S. attorney, I'm going to refer this to you for criminal prosecution because someone lied to me, and someone should be held in contempt. And should, as I said, don't infect the judiciary. That's the last bastion of hope that we have, is the good, honest judges who are not lied to, but who are told the truth. Got to have that.
All right, Representative Jordan has been pretty unapologetic about this and his request for this to be handled. Take a listen.
The dossier was the key to all this, and the FBI knew everything before they went to the court to get a warrant to spy on a fellow American citizen and then to spy on the Trump campaign. They knew who paid for the document. They didn't tell the court that. They knew the Orr's involvement, both Bruce and Nellie's involvement in producing that document. They didn't tell the court that. And they didn't tell the court that Christopher Steele had told Bruce Orr, and Bruce Orr had told the key people at the FBI that Chris Steele, the author of the document, was desperate to stop Trump from being elected.
Those are pretty, if that is actually what's in these documents, that puts into question this entire inquiry and the way it's been handled. I mean, Harry, is there any other way to look at that?
I don't think so.
Assuming that's the case. I mean, you actually need to see the documents to make sure of that.
But it also underscores another point, which we've discussed earlier, and that is many of these investigations have been centered in Washington, D.C., and they have been concentrated in the hands of higher-ups in the FBI. So rather than gather the facts, as field agents normally do, before proceeding, we have individuals at the very top of the FBI who have reached a preordained conclusion, in my view, on much of this evidence. And they have gone out actively in search of evidence in support of their own political bias. And so I think declassification is absolutely necessary to cut the legs out of this possible misconduct by the FBI.
Lee is calling on line 5 from Columbia, Missouri. Lee, you're on the air.
Yes, sir. One of your fellows, I forget the name, said that this involved national security.
Yeah.
I've been listening to you all, and you talk mostly about the criminal justice side of it. But even if that goes away with through the poison tree and all that, the national security side of the investigation will continue. This goes beyond just a regular criminal investigation.
Yes, but it's still governed by an investigation like this is still governed by the rules of criminal procedure when it's reached into the criminal process. When grand juries are impaneled, they don't get a special set of rules here. There's declassification issues, of course, with national security secrets. But as far as exculpatory evidence, that has to be produced to the defense counsel.
Always, anytime after
period.
The trial, after the trial, the determination is made to indict. Any information that may exculpate the defendant has to be produced. You don't have to produce exculpatory information in the grand jury. You don't have to give both sides of the story. They only hear the prosecution side of the story. But once that indictment is returned, anything that tends to exonerate the defendant, Brady versus Maryland, has to be turned over.
I'll tell you this: there is a lot of moving parts in all of this, as you could see. We're going to take a look at this in the last segment of the broadcast and take all your questions, as many as we can get to. 1-800-684-3110 is the number there. 800-684-3110. Now, we don't know when the president will do it. We don't know that he will do it for sure. I know that it's an issue that's obviously being discussed. It's in the media all over the place, and the Republicans have certainly been asking for it, and I think it's pretty fair that the FBI and DOJ doesn't want that to happen. Then you ask yourself the question, why? Talk about that when we come back from the break. But again, your support of the ACLJ makes a huge difference on so many issues around the globe. So we encourage you to support the work of the ACLJ. The best place to do that is at ACLJ.org, ACLJ.org. Coming up during Facebook and Periscope, I'm going to play a little music for you. It's a good day. Friday is a good day for some music. We'll do that, and then we're going to take some of your calls when we come back from the break at 800-684-3110. Back with more in just a moment.
It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Israel is facing unprecedented challenges. Enemies abound. ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran all pledge to wipe Israel from the face of the earth. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital, presents clear, irrefutable evidence to remove any doubt about Israel's right to exist. And the book dispels legal myths purported by Israel's enemies. Get your copy today, Jerusalem, a Biblical and Historical Case for the Jewish Capital. Available now at Amazon or Barnes & Noble. This is a critical time for the Supreme Court and our nation. President Trump has nominated a brilliant jurist to fill the seat created by the retirement of Justice Kennedy. Judge Brett Kavanaugh is eminently qualified. He has extensive experience and a commitment to adhere to the rule of law and uphold the Constitution. Yet the radical left is pulling out all the stops to derail this nomination. That's why it's so critical to support this nominee. The American Center for Law and Justice is mobilizing on Capitol Hill, demanding Judge Kavanaugh's immediate confirmation. Stand with us on this critical fight. Sign on to our petition, calling on the U.S. Senate to confirm Judge Kavanaugh without delay. Add your name to our petition right now online, aclj.org.
Welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. We're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. Last segment, talking about this declassification of documents. We're going to try to go in the order that people have been holding. Mark is calling from Kingsland, Texas on line two. Hey, Mark, go ahead.
Hey, thank you very much.
Sure.
We've been talking about the McCabe grand jury.
Yep.
I assume they've been meeting for more than an hour. And the hour that you've been talking, you've covered so many points that can question, and especially asking questions about the FISA court stuff to get that into the record. Would they be able to look at that to see if they were lying at the court?
Well, it depends on what Andrew McCabe's role was within the FISA court process. So these are two separate inquiries. Understand that.
Yeah, the determination of whether documents that were presented to the FISA court were concocted or based upon false information is one thing. Whether Andrew McCabe lied to FBI agents, and if so, to whom and under what circumstances, is what the grand jury is looking at. The grand jury would not be entitled to documents that were classified unless unclassified by the president.
Did we play that bite from Congressman Jordan? We already did. Yeah, I don't want to play that one again, but it's strong. I mean, it is a strong. Yeah, so we got a new one here, and this is another one. This is putting that connection between Fusion, GPS, and Chris Steele and Bruce Orr, and this is why this declassification is so important.
Why did Fusion and Chris Steele need Bruce Orr at all? Chris Steele had a direct line to the FBI. Why do you have to run information through Bruce Orr? He could just give this information straight to the FBI. I mean, I asked Bruce Orr about this, and it seems to me the reason was all this circular pattern that existed that gives weight to a document that we all know now was not true, this dossier. If you got a top Justice Department official also passing information to the FBI, that gives weight to this document that we know wasn't accurate, wasn't true at all.
There you go. I mean, this is part of the circular reasoning, is part of what the issues are that we're seeing dealt with. Don's calling from Maryland. He's on line three. Hi, Don.
Hello, Jay. Thanks for taking my call. I spent more than a year on a federal grand jury in Norfolk, Virginia, as the assistant foreman, hearing many cases. I also am a retired Marine who held one of the highest security clearances, you know, in the government.
Yep.
My question today is, even though we have a grand jury that's in, looking into the McCabe issue, how can the American public be assured that the U.S. District Attorney for that case will pursue that case to the fullest extent?
Well, he's got to go where the evidence leads, Andy. I mean, that's how it works in this. And you got to put that's where, you know, these U.S. attorneys are selected. They're confirmed by the Senate. And this is the process.
That's right. You can't
make them.
You can't force them to follow the evidence. But as I said, an assistant U.S. attorney is usually a young, very aggressive, sometimes they're career prosecutors, and they've been there for a long time. They're not subject to political pressure from the U.S. attorney. As I said, in the 5 years I was in the U.S. attorney's office in Atlanta, I never, ever was told not to pursue the case. When you say, how can I be assured? Well, I can't wave a magic wand and say, it's assured, don't worry, it's going to happen. You have to depend upon the integrity of the prosecutor, and I think that's pretty safely something we can do.
Yeah, and I agree with that. What do you think, Harry?
Well, I think that's correct. And one of the things that we want to be assured of, if possible, is that there is no interference with the prosecutor's decision by higher-ups, either within the DOJ or the FBI.
Yeah. All right, we're going to go right back to the phones. 1-800-684-3110. Frank's calling from Atlanta. Hi, Frank.
Hey, Jay. Thanks for taking my call. Thank you guys for what you guys do.
Sure.
Before Obama left, he expanded the agencies to like 16 or something,
yes,
something like that.
From three, sharing of information at the top from 3 to 16 or 18. Yeah. Eight days before he left office, or 12. I mean, it was pretty unbelievable. Go ahead.
Would that be good before the election? Couldn't he make it minimal, like 4 or so, or?
Well, no. I mean, what happened there was it was a determination to start doing more sharing of information, literally right as he was leaving office.
Yeah, absolutely. The number of agencies didn't change. It was their access to information, and part of what happened was part of it was centered around people's names being unmasked.
Yeah, it was the unmasking.
It
was a big thing.
It used to be
there.
Only the NSA and the Defense Intelligence Agency, a couple of agencies like that, could actually see who the citizen was that was masked.
Yeah.
And
so, Frank, you're asking, could it be brought back? You're asking if the president could restore it.
Yes, and wouldn't that be good before the election starts?
Well, I don't, you know, I'm not a national security expert. I don't know if it would be good or not, and that is a decision that rests not with the president's private lawyers or outside counsel to the president, but within the government and agencies itself. So they have to make that determination, which is what the appropriate method for sharing information, what agencies should do it. I think a tighter would be better, but there's also a need for sharing sometimes. I mean, for national security reasons, you want to have that capability. Valerie's calling from Staten Island, New York. Valerie, go ahead.
Hi, I just had a question about text between Strzok and Page, heavily redacted. Then, in fact, it was revealed that they knew Judge Contreras. And then from there, he was in charge of Michael Flynn's case.
Yes, and then pulled out.
Where he pulled out, and then is he one of the FISA court judges that actually saw these?
Valerie, you should be an investigative journalist. That apparently is the case, and Judge Contreras pulled out of the sentencing phase of Michael Flynn, but there's another judge now that's taken that case over and is re-looking at the entire Flynn plea, and I think that, Andy, that point that Valerie raises about it really did put these judges in a terrible spot.
Well, it did. I mean, he knew him and he had confidence in him, and it gave him added credibility when he came before the judge and said, "Here, I want you to sign off on this warrant to believe in him." As you know, I mean, judges, when I take applications for search warrants before judges, they're going to believe that what I say in that warrant and what my representations are going to be accurate and true based upon their confidence in me.
Right.
Strzok misused that information and misused that confidence to get what he wanted to get.
All right, let's go to Melanie. He's calling from Colorado. It'll be the last call we take. Melanie, go ahead. You're on the air.
Hi, sorry. This is probably, thanks for your show. I really love it.
Thanks.
This is probably below the general intelligence level of the rest of your audience.
Oh, no. Go ahead.
Why is everybody assuming that the records they want President Trump to possibly unseal will actually contain the truth? Like, why would they be whitewashed if they're going to damn somebody in a poor interview?
Well, if they were the documents that were used on the basis of a FISA warrant, they had to reach such a level of significance that they were deemed not only worthy, but produced probable cause to issue the warrant. I mean, that would be, could they clean them up, fix them up? I think it's a little late for that. I think if these are declassified, there's obviously a call for declassification for a reason. And there's opposition to that. And what is the internal opposition? My suspicion is they don't want this information out, Andy.
That's right. They want to suppress it and hide it. And I think that's why, subject to methods and sources, it ought to be disclosed.
Harry, absolutely. I think that the FISA warrant application facts will have to be disclosed. We could not; those are not corruptible.
Yeah.
Bottom line is, FBI agents, they cannot mislead, nuance, or lie under oath. Their word is their currency.
Yeah. All right. That does it. There may be a lot more of this later today or tomorrow or Monday. So if there is, we'll keep you posted on it. Anyways, have a great weekend, everybody. Support the work of the ACLJ. You can do that at aclj.org. And make sure you're engaged with us on social media. It's a good way to find out when things happen. They might. Talk to you on Monday.
This is a critical time for the Supreme Court and our nation. President Trump has nominated a brilliant jurist. Judge Brett Kavanaugh is eminently qualified. The American Center for Law and Justice is mobilizing on Capitol Hill, demanding Judge Kavanaugh's immediate confirmation. Sign on to our petition, calling on the U.S. Senate to confirm Judge Kavanaugh without delay. Add your name to our petition right now online, ACLJ.